today. But I want to begin today by asking you a question. And you're going to say, now this crazy preacher is asking a question like this in church? Well, yeah. And here's the question. Don't raise your hand or nothing. Just let this be a rhetorical question. How many of you here today are Christians? I'm not asking you how many of you have joined the church. I'm not asking you how many of you have been baptized. I'm not asking you how many of y'all are trying to live a good life. I'm asking how many of you have turned away from the sins of your former life. You've walked through that narrow gate by faith. You've acknowledged the death of God's Son Jesus on that cross. And you've accepted his death as payment for every one of your sins. And now you are living totally committed to him as the Lord of your life. That's what I'm asking. Now, my second question is this. First one, how many of you are Christians? Second question, how many of you are missionaries? Now be careful how you answer. Because if you responded yes to the first question, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you respond no to the question, am I a missionary? You may want to reconsider today. Because the Christian and a missionary are basically the same thing. Well, Bill, what is a missionary? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines a missionary as a person sent on a mission, especially a religious mission. So, by definition, every single Christian is a missionary. And that's because every Christian here is on a mission. Every single Christian is here on a mission. Now, Jesus outlined this mission for us in Matthew chapter 28 when he told his disciples and us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. Now, the Apostle Paul outlined it with a little bit of a broader scope. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul said, Christ died for all. That's a big statement right there. Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. How many of you know that your life is no longer about you? Paul continued on after saying that you ought not live for yourselves, but live for him who died for you and rose again. He said, therefore, we are now ambassadors for Christ, as though God himself were pleading through us. Oh, we implore you, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. For he, the Father, made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for you and I, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Friends, it's been well said that every single person on earth is either a missionary or they're part of the mission field. Y'all hearing me? You're either a missionary or you're part of the mission field. Now, I'll go so far as to say this. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. You're either a missionary at work in the mission of God, or you're faking it. A missionary or an imposter. Have you ever thought about the words that Jesus spoke just before he ascended to heaven? Why don't you turn there with me in Acts chapter 1. It's on page 965 in the Bibles in front of you, if you'd like to join me. And I want to read this narrative that Luke wrote, Dr. Luke wrote, as he began the book of Acts. In chapter 1 and verse 4, Luke writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John," talking about the Baptist, "truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?'" And I can see Jesus just shaking his head. Boys, you just don't get it, do you? Verse 7 says, "And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" You see, friend, when Jesus left this planet, he had a mission on his mind. He had a mission on his mind. Jesus came as a missionary from heaven to make us missionaries for heaven. If you're a Christian today, you are a missionary. Our God has a missionary heart, and he sends you and I as missionary servants with a mission from God. Sadly, many Christians are woefully ignorant of their responsibility in God's mission. Friends, God has given us a charge. Your life is no longer about you. It's about him who died for you and rose again. He's given us a charge to tell the world about his son, Jesus. And listen to me, that job is getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year. Did you know that it wasn't until the year 1850 that the population of Earth grew to 1 billion people? 80 years later, in 1930, that number doubled to 2 billion people. 30 years after that, in 1960, the population of Earth reached 4 billion people. In 1985, 25 years after that, the world's population reached 5 billion people. And 27 years after that, in 2012, the world's population was about 7 billion people. And today, my friend, the population of Earth is roughly 8.2 billion people. Now, what this should scream to the believer is this. There are billions and billions of people who have never heard the name above all names. They've never heard the only name that by which a person can be saved. They've never heard the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you today, as I've encouraged myself this week, to hear God calling you, to hear God calling me to be a missionary. Not to go overseas necessarily, but to be a missionary right where you are. Right where you are. Why? Because we happen to believe that people who die without Jesus are lost. And that should break the Christian's heart. Why? Because it breaks God's heart. Paul continued to say in Romans chapter 10 that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him to be saved in whom they haven't even believed? You can't be saved unless you believe. He went on to say, and how shall they believe if they never even heard of him? And how are they going to hear if there's not a preacher? If there's not just somebody to tell them about Jesus? When the great missionary Hudson Taylor was on his way to China, the ship's captain asked him, he said, do you think that those heathen people in China are going to be lost if you don't go there? And Taylor said, I believe that those heathen people in China are lost. That's why I'm going there. What about the people in your circle of influence? The people within your reach of your Facebook account? The people in reach of your phone number and your texting ability? I mean, if we really believe that people without Christ are lost, if we really believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, which we do, then we must hear this morning the calling of God for us to be missionaries. Right where we are. He might send you overseas. He might send you to another state. I don't know. But I do know this. He's called you to be a missionary right where you are. Right where you are. So this morning, I want you to see that God hasn't left this mission up to chance. I want you to see that God has showed us what the mission is. He showed us how to carry out the mission, and he's given us every tool we need to accomplish the mission. That being said, I want you this morning to hear four steps that will enable you to cultivate this missionary heart within you. Beginning with this, we need to capture God's passion for the lost. This is the first and probably the most critically important step in the whole process. You see, before we can focus on reaching others, we really need to understand how much God himself loves them. See, many Christians have been deceived into thinking, well, since I'm a child of God, he only loves me. And he don't love that person that's L-O-S-T. But let me tell you something. He loves that person just as much as he loves you. Jesus said, I've stepped out of the glory of heaven and come to this wretchedly filthy planet to seek and to save that which was L-O-S-T. He came on a mission. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, he declared that the Lord God is not willing that any, say any, he ain't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John said it this way in 1 John 3:16. He said, by this you will know love, because he laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This life you're living, friend, is no longer about you. It's no longer about you. It's about him who died for you and rose again. Now, these are just a few glimpses into the heart that God has for lost people. Now, the second is this. We also not only need to capture God's passion, we also need to tap into God's power in order to seek the lost. Back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus left us with one of the greatest promises that we could ever have. He said, you, say me, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power, the power of God will come upon you. Friend, do you realize that when you got saved, God gave you the most supernatural resource that was available in order to carry out his mission? The Holy Spirit of God. Here's what Jesus said about that. He said, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. You see, the power to seek after the lost, it's not going to take money. It's not going to take manpower. It's not going to take some super method. No, the power to accomplish God's mission comes straight from the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, because of that, every Christian can be and should be about the mission of God. Because the Bible says that when we were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit took up residence in these lives that were no longer living for ourselves. We got power. We got the power. God's mission is not dependent on your personality. God's mission is not dependent on how persuasive you are or aren't. God's mission is not dependent on your position in life. Or me, your position in life. Amen. Sharing the good news is dependent on the power of God. The power of God. And every single Christian has access to that Holy Spirit power. And listen, if you got the power of God, you don't need nothing else. Somebody scream amen about that. Not only must we capture the passion for the lost, not only must we tap in to God's power to seek after the lost, but friend, we got to commit to God's plan in order to save the lost. I mean, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit indwelling us anyway? What's the purpose of that? Jesus said it. He said, the power is given so that you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, there's a whole lot of gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot of blessings the Holy Spirit brings. But the primary reason that the Holy Spirit is taking a residence in you is so that you would be a witness unto Jesus Christ. He'll give you the power. It's been well said that the whole goal of God's Holy Spirit power, the whole goal of the Spirit-filled life is so that, listen to me, so that we become so vitally connected to Jesus that we can't stop talking about him. That's the goal. That's why the Holy Spirit is taking a residence in you. so that you can't stop talking about that Jesus who laid down his life and rose again for your behalf. Jesus, friend. Him. Jesus and him crucified. Jesus and him raising again. He's the person of the mission. The Spirit is the power of the mission. And witnessing, telling other people about him, is the plan of the mission. And let me tell you something. We are the people of the mission. Sometimes we deny that. Sometimes we try to ignore that. But it's, you can't ignore it. We are the tools God uses to share the gospel. God's plan is for you and me to partner with him to make sure that the whole world hears about what his beloved son did for us. That's the plan. Now, I read a fictional story about a group of angels who were talking to the Lord Jesus after he ascended to heaven. And those angels asked the Lord, they said, "Lord, how are you going to spread your good news throughout the whole world?" And Jesus said, "Well, I have shared this message with a few disciples down there at Bethel. They're the ones that's going to carry out my mission. You see, my disciples there at Bethel, they're going to share the message of eternal life with other people. And then those people will in turn share with other people about the need to be saved from sin." And the angel said, "So let me get this right. Lord, you're telling me that you're counting on those earthlings from Bethel to share your good news to the whole world?" And Jesus said, "Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying." And that angel said, "Well, Lord, what if those earthlings from Bethel don't do it? What's your plan B?" The Lord said, "There ain't no plan B. That's it." Do you want to know how the Lord plans to reach a lost world for Jesus? If you really want to know, what I want you to do is I want you to go home and I want you to look in the mirror, because that's the one he's going to use to share the gospel good news with the world. Why? Because there's no plan B, y'all. You're it. You're it. Now, some people say, "Well, I know that I ought to be sharing my faith." But listen, a Buddhist can share his faith. A Muslim can share his faith. What's unique for us is we share Jesus. We share Jesus, the only one capable of saving a man or a woman from sin. We share Jesus. You see, that's the greatest need in every man, woman, or child. Jesus. And the greatest need on earth is that people have a real, ongoing, life-changing, all-encompassing, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's the mission. That's the mission. And our great God has no other plan. He'll use no other method. He doesn't have any other ideas but the one that he's put in place. That we, beginning with the man or the woman we look at in the mirror, that we carry this life-saving message with the passion of God, that we do it in the power of God, according to the plan of God, then and only then can we expect the lost world to be saved. But we also need to follow God's pattern for saving the lost. Now the pattern for saving the lost is beautifully simple. Jesus said it right there at the end of verse 8. He said, you should be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see, the Lord told us not only how we should go, but he also told us where to go. He began by saying, you're to go to your community. It's understood that after you get your home in order, after those that are under your own roof are saved, then you ought to go next door. Now, next door for you might be a coworker, a classmate, a teammate. It might be a friend or a fishing buddy. It might be Cousin Eddie, I don't know. That's our community. And there's an old saying that says that the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. Is that true or what? And I believe that here at Bethel, that's what we're doing with Christians in Action for the children. That's what we do in life groups. I mean, not only do we have small group Bible study, but we also fellowship with one another, encourage one another. That's what we do at the Bethel Youth Group. That's certainly what they're doing in the Junior Bethel Youth Group. I don't know the secret, but we want some of that. 20 kids, that's pretty amazing. That's what we do at Vacation Bible School. That's what we do at church camp. We minister to those who are closest to home. And as the Lord's church, I believe that we should be praying for God's mission. We should be giving towards God's mission. We should be serving in God's mission. But listen, more than anything, what we should do as the church is we should be living his mission day in and day out for his glory. Got to start with the community. And then after that, Jesus said we're to go to our region and our nation. Now, Judea and Samaria were the areas that surrounded Jerusalem. Now, there are more people in America who know about Jesus than probably any other nation. But that doesn't excuse us from getting this life-saving message out to the 200 million Americans or people in this country that don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Can I tell you that churches in other countries, they understand the need. In fact, churches in other countries, you know what they do? They send their missionaries to the United States. Fact. See, they say, man, we see the downward spiral of morality in the U.S., and we want to be used by the hand of God to try to curb, to try to change the course of where America is heading. And so they send missionaries to us. So God's pattern begins in our communities and then in our region and nation. But then Jesus said, after that, you got to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, the ends of the earth. Now, Standard Oil Company once had a slogan that I think would be really good for us to revive. The slogan was this: get the light to the darkest corners of the world. See, we got a light worth sharing, y'all. And we got to take that light to the darkest corners of the world. That is exactly what God has called you and I to do. We got to accept responsibility, listen to me, to think globally. But let's act locally. Let's get to work where we are, but let's make sure we keep our mind on the uttermost parts of the world. Important. You may look in your bulletin right now and see what we call a mission statement for Bethel Baptist Church. If you hadn't seen it, you need to take a look at it. And you need to reread it every now and then because it tells you why we do what we do. Why we come here, not only for the worship, but also to serve, right? The mission statement goes like this: sharing the love of Jesus across the way and around the world, fulfilling the Lord's great commission in all we do. See, there ain't a thing that goes on in this church house unless the ultimate goal is to bring people to Jesus. or to bring people closer to Jesus. Amen. If it doesn't do that, then we don't need to be doing it. Our God has a missionary heart. He sends us as missionary servants to proclaim this missionary message and to fulfill his mission. And if we're not doing it, shame on us. That song said, "Let us not take grace for granted," or something like that. I think when we have Christians who aren't missionaries, they're kind of taking the grace of God for granted. We need to be careful that's not us. Be careful that's not the person you see in the mirror. Because from the nursery to the senior saints, from sea to shining sea, and in every corner of the globe, our main purpose, the main reason this church exists, is to make sure that we are fulfilling God's mission. Because this life is no longer about us. It's about him who died and rose again. To close this morning, I read about one study that only had 50 participants. But all 50 participants were over age 95. Do we have any 95-year-olds here? Nobody, I didn't think so. These were all 95-year-olds. Amen. You feel it because it's your birthday, right, Glenda? Amen. She ain't 95. Anyway, this one question was asked of these 50 95-year-old plus people. And the question was this: if you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? If you had a do-over, how would it be different? Three answers dominated. One, they said, I would meditate more, rest and reflect more. Two, I'd be willing to risk more, getting outside my comfort zone. And three, I would do more things that will live on after I'm dead. Because this life is no longer about you. It's about him who died and rose again. He is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. You heard that quote? So here's your challenge this morning. You can't preach a message like this unless there's a challenge for you. The challenge is this: to be an effective Christian, to be an effective Bethelonian, somebody say amen. Amen. If you're going to be an effective Christian, you've got to become an effective missionary. You've got to be sharing about him who saved you. And to do it, you're going to have to capture God's passion for lost people. He loves them just as much as he loves you. You're going to have to tap in to God's power through his Holy Spirit. You got it if you're saved. And you're going to have to commit to God's plan in sharing Jesus. Why? Because there ain't no plan B. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And finally, you got to be willing to follow God's pattern to go across the way and around the world, to do whatever it takes to fulfill the mission of God. So are you willing to accept this challenge this morning? Sounds pretty demanding, Brother Bill. Yeah, it's pretty demanding. In fact, it's going to demand your life. So go and look at that person in the mirror and ask that person, are you a Christian? And then ask, are you a missionary? This missionary heart begins in your home and then expands in concentric circles from there. I pray that if you don't have that power, that Jesus was speaking about, it's probably because you're not saved. It's either because you're not saved or because you're being disobedient. And listen, I may be speaking this to you, but boy, I've been speaking it to that man in the mirror all week long. And I profess that I'm a Christian, but boy, I got some work to do to become a missionary. You may be something like me. And I pray that if you are like me, you will resolve that this week there's some changes going to go down. Some changes are going to happen. You're going to do what Jesus said. Be witnesses unto me in everything you do, in every relationship you have, in every circle of friends that you're a part of. Be a missionary. And if you're lacking this power and you say, well, you know, I don't think that I am saved. Can I tell you that today you can walk out of this building knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved? We're going to sing a song of decision here in a moment. And during the song, if the Lord is leading you to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, let this be today the day you become not only a Christian, but a missionary for the glory of God. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, you've given us some tall orders today. Lord, we come up with all manner of excuses. And I'm perhaps the most guilty of everybody in this room. But I am determined that from this day forward, I am going to repent of my lack of missionary mindedness, and I'm going to embrace the fact that if I'm a Christian, I need to be a missionary. It's not just about going through life on autopilot. We are called to something, someone much greater. That we know that Christ died for all. That those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. If there's somebody that needs to be saved today, Father, I pray that during this song of decision, Father, they just come forward and I'll share not what Brother Bill says, not what Bethel says. I'll share with them what the Bible says about how they can be saved from the penalty of sin and be assured of an eternal life with the Father in heaven. How could somebody not want that? Lord, I pray that everybody walks out of this room this morning having that assurance in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Would you stand?